May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to read from a scripture that over the years I've spoken from often, and even recently, I'm sure. But there's just something else that the Lord just spoke into my heart in terms of just filling in even some more of the spaces that made it more meaningful to me that I wanted to share with you. I'm not sure if it's just a consequence of or one of the prerequisites of a spirit-filled life, and that is the attitude of thankfulness. I find that in Africa, who have so little, they're much more thankful than we in the West are who have so much. It becomes a terrible lure, things and stuff and safety. That's why Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven because he has so much and he's so comfortable and feels so secure in the natural to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. But I know that it says in Ephesians 5 in the context of being continually filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. In this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let me just read beginning in verse 12. Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in his triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. In other words, among those who are open to the things of God and those who aren't. To one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And we've looked at this before, that here is this this classic evangelist, the Apostle Paul, whose heart beat to see the unsaved come into the kingdom. And he finds himself in a city called Troas. But when he's in Troas, God opens a door for the gospel. Amazing thing. That's what he says. There was a door open for me in the Lord to preach the gospel. And yet he found no rest in his spirit because he didn't find Titus, his brother. So he took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. So here's this contradiction, that here's Paul in Troas, a place that had never heard the gospel. There's a door open for him in the Lord, not in the flesh, but in the Lord. And yet, God does that, and then God does his contradictory thing and causes his spirit, not his flesh or his soul, but his spirit to not be at rest because he didn't find Titus. Now, remember again the context here. The church in Corinth, of which Paul was their spiritual father, was in great disarray and division and rebellion. So Paul had done several things to try to get them to come to repentance. But he wrote one letter that he refers to in 2 Corinthians as the sorrowful letter. We have no historical record of it. God did it that way for a reason. And Titus took them that letter, hand-delivered them, hopefully to bring them to a place of repentance. And so he's delivered the letter, and Paul's now waiting, longing to hear Titus to come and tell him what the Corinthians' response was. And he thought he was going to meet Titus in Troas, but Titus didn't show up in Troas. Now that's one of the reasons that Paul left, but there's more to it. In Acts, so that you understand even better this amazing attitude of the Apostle Paul, whose personality wasn't to necessarily be always optimistic. Paul was a tough, goal-oriented person. He couldn't even get along with Barnabas, who had done so much for him. Barnabas' name was Son of Encouragement. In Acts chapter 15, when it was time for the second missionary journey, the scripture says it was a vinegary, bitter dispute between Paul and Barnabas, because Barnabas wanted John Mark, who had actually, out of fear, abandoned them on the first journey, missionary journey. He wanted John Mark to get a second chance, and Paul was absolutely against it. So his tendency was to be a hard man. And God does work in his life, and he welcomes Timothy later. But his personality wasn't just one that's bubbly, laughable, optimistic. And yet we hear him saying, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ," even though the door was open in Troas, God wouldn't let him stay there. But it's even worse than that, circumstantially. In Acts chapter 16, it says in verse 6, "And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia." You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will forbid you to do stuff, and if he does, you push your way through, it'll be a disaster. "And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus didn't permit them. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia," this is Luke speaking, "concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, putting out to sea from Troas." Paul was in Troas, this place where the doors opened for him in the gospel, and yet he had found no rest in his spirit and left because he didn't meet Titus. But he also left because he had a vision from God to come to Macedonia. And he leaves Troas and goes to Macedonia because, one, he's still looking for Titus to give him, hopefully, good news about Corinth. And two, God had come to him in a vision, and the Macedonian call he responded to. Well, the place he went to in Macedonia was a large city called Philippi. And when he gets to Philippi and begins to minister, him and Silas, they run across a demon-possessed woman who had a spirit of Python, spirit of divination. They cast the spirit out of her, Paul does. It causes her owners, who were making a lot of money from her, because she was like a hotline for, what do they call that thing? Huh? You know, you call and they tell you your future? Fortune-telling kind of thing. Or that's not even fortune-telling, I forget what it's called. Yeah, psychic hotline. And so the whole city rises up because these men who owned her rises them up. And it says in Acts chapter 16 that they beat him and Silas with many blows, rods on their back. And it was so bad that at some point in Acts 16 it says later that the jailer washed their wounds. So it wasn't just bruises, they were bleeding. Put them in the inner prison, the worst dungeon, solitary confinement, and put their feet in stocks and chains. And then it says this, verse 23, "After they inflicted many blows upon them, they put him in prison, securely fastened their legs in chains. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And then suddenly there's this earthquake, the doors open, the chains all fall off, the jailer gets saved, his whole household." This is an amazing story. Now, do you understand it says, "And they were listening to them, sing and pray"? You need to understand the world around you is listening to you and me and how we respond to what's going on in our lives. Now, Paul didn't just have a door open for him for the gospel in Troas. And his spirit was troubled because he didn't find Titus. He had a vision, and God said, "Go to Macedonia." Now, how confusing is that? This evangelist has a door open to preach the gospel, but his spirit's troubled. And beyond that, God says, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Macedonia." Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We have clear direction. Goes there and almost gets beaten to death. Thanks a lot, Lord. Looks like victory to me, doesn't it, you? Now, our tendency would do is just call it the devil and rebuke the devil and run around, spout, and act like a bunch of charismatics. But Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And it opened the door for suddenly. And this earthquake, these miracles and signs and wonders. But God didn't spare them from the beating. He performed a miracle, but he got a beating. Enough where his wounds had to be washed. Many blows. To be rotted is a very horrible thing. Somebody's back. What? And when 2 Corinthians is written, it's all in light of all that having happened. And when Paul says, but thanks be to God, he also had in mind not just the contradiction that he couldn't stay in Troas and God had opened the door, but that God had led him to a place where he almost got beaten to death. But thanks be to God, who's always leading us in his triumph in Christ. And I'm sure when Paul wrote that in 2 Corinthians, he was thinking about that prayer and praise meeting. That at midnight, bleeding and beaten in the dark and their feet in stocks and chains, he and Silas were singing praises to God. Because they were convinced that even though they didn't understand everything that was going around them, and maybe didn't even understand the will of God, why'd you tell us to come here? We could have stayed there and preached the gospel. You sent us here, we all got beaten. Now, we saw cool things happen in people's lives. Lord, I could have preached to thousands in Troas. We got a demon-possessed woman, another person in a jailer in his household. That's not as big as thousands in Troas. But what he believed was that Jesus was winning. That thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. No matter what it looks like, no matter how confusing it seems, no matter how defeated it looks like you're being defeated, how much it seems like defeat. Paul, there was a song and a melody in his heart. He walked in faith. And faith isn't always declaring, the devil, you're defeated, nothing bad's going to happen to me. Most of the time, it's when things are going on in a world full of warfare and stuff, where you're praising God and believing that he's leading you in his triumph when everything around you looks like failure, confusion, and defeat. That's a life of faith. Not just faith for things. See, we get confused and think that's what faith is always. I'm believing for something. What about believing in something? It says, give thanks for all things in Ephesians 5, but 1 Thessalonians says, give thanks in all things. That's a life of faith. Anybody can believe for and rejoice when awesome things happen. But a mature Christian has faith in. And they have a song in their heart in the place that's hard and painful. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.